as I speak to you this morning. So, being an Ulsterman, put your hand up if you love the writing of C.S. Lewis. I'm a Northern Irishman. I'm very proud of C.S. Lewis. This wardrobe is emblematic of which book that C.S. Lewis wrote. Let's say it nicely together. One, two, three. And of course, there is this seminal moment when Lucy opens the door of the wardrobe and she steps into it and she pushes back the fur coats and the hanging coats. Nod at me if you're with me. Are you in the zone? And then she steps into this winter wonderland. I want to do that this morning with you. I want to take you through the wardrobe into the world of the persecuted church. This is Indonesia. This is what 21st century persecution looks like. This is three Sunday school teachers on trial.
Untuk mengadili Rebecca seadil-adilnya. Maka dari itu, tolong buktikan keadilan bahwa keadilan masih berlaku. Allahu Akbar. Tempat ibadah dimanapun berada, silakan dibuat. Tetapi jangan menyalahi SKB bersama. Jika mesti, setuju. Allahu Akbar. Barangkali kepercayaan kami ini jangan disalahartikan. Bukan berarti kami selama menyerahkan kepada kami bukan berarti lemah. Kalau keadilan tidak bisa ditegakkan, maka Rebecca adalah perlu dijaga. Masuk kepada mabir arti.
Kalau Rebecca minta maaf, dia masuk Islam. Kalian memaafkan?
8 years ago, that was my first assignment with Open Doors to take a small advocacy team to visit Rebecca, Etty and Ratna. They were given 5 years in prison for running a Sunday school for street children, even though they had government authority from the Departments of Education, Health and Education. It was a show trial. It was hugely intimidatory. These dear women caught in a complex situation. They taught me this lesson. We need to find a way of holding on to God even when it seems as though God has let go of us. Rebecca was the local general practitioner, senior pastor of a small church. They saw these children thrown away onto the streets, decided to love them in the name of Jesus. Then they ended up in Indramayo State Penitentiary in prison block Wanita. Indonesia is a democratic republic. It's an international power base, an economic power base, and yet this is happening, continues to happen, as far as Christian witness is concerned. I remember the night before going into prison for those 3 days. I walked my bedroom late into the night thinking about what would be the things that I could do to bring comfort and help. They beat me to the chase, in actual fact, because as we met for the first time in the Welcome Center, it's 42 degrees there, by the way, they brought me copies of 2,700 letters that had been sent by people like you to help them in their time. But that didn't mask the reality of what their experience was like, because when they were put into prison block Wanita, the walls were covered in excrement and the floor was running with urine. They came in with their 3 suitcases, and the first thing that the doctor asked for was boiling hot water, and she and the other 2 sisters washed the cells of the other 9 women who were prostitutes, Al-Qaeda terrorists. There was one woman, if you gave her $10, she would murder anybody. She was the scariest lady I've ever met in the entire world. They cleaned the cells of the other women, fed them for the first time. So dysfunctional was prison block Wanita that armed guards went in 4s in body armor because these women were so dysfunctional, and 3 Sunday school teachers were put there. At the end of the first month, the prison guard came to Dr. Rebecca and said, "I think before you became a criminal, you were a doctor. I've got severe stomach problems. Could you please help me?" She gave him a physical once over. Would you do that if your general practitioner certificate had been stripped of you and you'd been thrown away? Would you offer any love or solace? She gave him a once over, wrote out the type of medicine that he should go and get. And by the end of the second month, they'd given her a room and she was caring for all of the prison staff. Would you do that? Would you do that? They continued to love the other prisoners and care for them. At the end of the 3rd month, the prison superintendent asked to see them and said, "We were told that you were subversives, that you would be a curse, that you were chaotically dysfunctional people, and you've been a blessing to this prison. How would it be if your church came to prison on Sundays during your entire time of incarceration? At least they'll be safe in prison, and you can worship your God, and you can have communion, you can do whatever you like, because you've been such a blessing. Would that be helpful to you?" And so the church that had been divided as a result of their leadership being taken out, came to prison for the entire time of their incarceration. And I had the honor of giving communion and blessing them and being with them over those days. Am I communicating with you this morning? Did you hear what I just said? In the entire world, I've never seen anything like that, where forgiveness and mercy was pouring out of these little people. Actually, I love traveling in the Far East because, believe it or not, I'm a tall man. And these little ladies are about up to my hip. But they've got hearts, the hearts of sizes of lions. They were beautiful. And they then planted vegetable gardens and started to feed the prison. 498 men, 2 mosques, and prison block Wanita. I've only got 6 minutes left to speak to you, and I need to use this time very quickly to try and achieve 2 key objectives. In your handout, there is a scoring card which talks about the subject of trust and forgiveness. I think quintessentially, if Christians can find a place where they do become trusting people and forgiving people, they will stand out as signposts and huge indicators to the presence of Christ living in their lives. They will be visible. They will be dynamic. Rebecca took me in a walk. She took my arm. She took my pulse. She looked into my eyes. She checked my blood pressure. She said, "I need to lose a bit of weight, Eddie. This is not good. I've got to shape up a little bit. I'm being humorous. Please smile with me." Then she said, "Do you see the prison gates and bars and gun emplacements and locks and chains?" And I said, "Yes." Rebecca, Sister Rebecca, I do. She said to me, Eddie, this is my university of trust. Then she put her hand on her heart and she said, with each tick of my heart, every heartbeat, every second, every beat of my heart, I've got to trust God. Then she looked deeply into my eyes and she said, do you know Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6? And I said, yes, Rebecca, I do. Shall we say that together? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Here's a secret from the world of the persecuted church. They memorize the scriptures. In Vietnam, you would never be given a Bible unless you could repeat verbatim Psalm 119. How can you fight against the enemy if you don't know the Word of God? She said, in my university of trust, when I go to bed at night with empty arms, I've got to trust that the three children that should be in my arms, God is taking care of. In my empty arms, my husband should be there. I've got to trust that he will be faithful to me. I am now a criminal. I am shamed. I've got to trust that God will redeem my integrity and reputation for the purposes of His kingdom. I have been made nothing, but I have to trust Him. And Eddie, how is your scorecard about forgiveness? Do you forgive those who wrong you? Because if you carry a burden of unforgiveness and you don't have a clean sheet with the people around you, how can you even stand up in front of a group of people and talk about the forgiveness of Jesus if you are not a forgiver yourself? Prayerfully this afternoon, look into the scriptures and look into your heart and think about where you are in the university of trust. Now, let me lighten this because that's been quite a heavy thing that I've just dropped on top of you. I want to teach you a Greek word which is called splanknidzomai. Say that after me. Splanknidzomai. Baffle your dinner guests this afternoon. But I was just learning about splanknidzomai church this morning. It comes from the Greek. It's about a feeling. It's a sense deep within the bowels, within the heart of who we are. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and the scripture says that he was gripped with splanknidzomai of compassion for the lost. What will make us be imitators and signposts for the kingdom of God is the exemplification of people like Rebecca Eddy and Ratna, who have been persecuted for their faith, but have been found faithful because they have trusted the Lord with all of their heart, and they are forgiving and loving and compassionate people. This Christmas, pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that will come upon you. No one will spray a noon word on your front door or on your forehead because you live in a free place this Christmas. Thank God for the liberty that is ours. No one will threaten you this Christmas. But there is a spectacular opportunity for you to be a signpost, to be an imitator, to all that the God of glory came to give through His Son, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the most compassionate being that has ever walked the face of the earth. The scriptures call us to be imitators of Him today and this Christmas. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me today. I feel prompted to invite you this morning that if that is the longing of your heart, for you to be an imitator, to be a signpost, to be more full of God this Christmas, would you just stand where you are now? And Adrian, would you come and join me? And I would just like to pray, we would just like to pray a blessing upon you. For those of you who are not standing, just close your eyes and be in prayer. Maybe you might like to take your right hand and place it over where you think your heart is as a symbol of surrender. If you do that, you're whispering to God, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Whisper that for yourself. Wonderful Father in heaven. Wonderful, loving Father. The all-compassionate one. The beautiful one. Pour your grace upon us, your children. There's so much that we aren't. But this morning we long to be more like you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, now. Like the early morning dew, come, soak us with your holy presence this morning. Come now. Help us be radiant with the love and the presence of the beautiful Christ, we pray. Teach us, convict us, love us, heal us. Come now, Holy Spirit. Come now, I pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Eddie, thanks for that challenge from God's Word this morning. We've got great opportunities to invite people, haven't we, to hear more about Jesus. Please, please make good use of those opportunities. Tonight, 6:30, Gospel Choir next Saturday. All-age carol service next Sunday afternoon. We have so many opportunities here to make the invitations for people to hear a little more about Jesus. I trust what Eddie's been saying today resonates with us in terms of what we're called to be. Well, it leads very well into the song that we've chosen this morning. This is